Do you think anybody can get out of facing Jesus Christ? This is the only world I've ever been in, or will ever be in. And this world, the way it is what I've got to face. Let me put it this way. In this world, there is a sun shining. That sun rises in the morning, shines during the day, and sets at night, altogether apart from anything I think about it. That sun shines without my consent, without my approval. It's altogether apart from my judgment or my understanding. I may see good in it. I may think it's worthwhile. I may think it's too hot. I may think it isn't warm enough. I don't make any difference what I think. That sun shines the way it is, and if I've got any intelligence at all, I'll adjust myself to it. Because the only world I know anything about is a world that's got a sun shining in it. This is the only world I know. In exactly the same way, this very world that I know, the one that I live in, into this world, Jesus Christ came. And there's no such thing as I or any other man who has ever heard the gospel being able to evade or to avoid Jesus Christ. There is a sense in which in Jesus Christ and in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God Himself confronts the soul of man with an outstretched hand. If I met a man in the street and he came over and held out his hand to shake hands with me, that's a good deal like the way the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to the soul of men. And I want to tell you right now, the man who turns around and walks away from that is turning around and walking away from God. Now, let's not play games with ourselves. Let's tell the honest truth. The man who turns his back on Jesus Christ is turning his back on God and ought to expect to take the consequences. The man who ignores Jesus Christ is rejecting the gracious offer of God. I know I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask to be made. I didn't ask for this world to be as it is. And I didn't ask for me to be as I am. But I was made this way. And I was put in this world as it is. And I've got a heart like I have, and I've got a mind like I have, and I've got a body like I have, and I've got a conscience like I have, and I am like I am. And I do wrong like I do. And I've been what I've been. And I'm the one that Almighty God meets. And in grace and mercy, he comes to me, confronts me, and holds out his hand. He wants to shake my hand. He wants me to take hold of him. And what I'm saying just now is that if I turn around and walk off, let me understand exactly what I've done. I've turned my back on God. That's all there is to it. And I've got to accept responsibility for such a rejection. You see, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, considering the gospel, and considering the claims of the gospel, it's not an elective course that I can take if I want to or leave if I don't want to. No, it's required. There isn't any way to avoid it. There is so much in the matters of Christian faith that I will freely acknowledge lies beyond our understanding. I understand that. A great deal you and I will never know. And in so much of what we do know, we're only babes. I understand that too. But God has kept the matter of accepting Jesus Christ very simple. The wayfaring man need not err therein. Even a child can understand what's meant when you come up to this child and hold out your arms. Why, even a baby that can't even talk knows exactly what you mean. When you step before that baby and you hold out your arms as if you were going to lift it up, that baby knows what's involved. And this is what God does in the gospel. It doesn't make any difference to me who you are, that you may be listening to me just now. Almighty God stands in front of you in the person of Jesus Christ, and he reaches out his arms for you, and he offers you that he will carry you. He's calling you to himself. And I want to tell you, nobody living who has ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can escape the responsibility of dealing with this matter. In the book of John, and that's what we're studying just now, I want you to look at the third chapter and verses 18 to 22. That's what we're looking at today. Look at John 3, chapter 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now this is a categoric statement. That's what we mean by a statement that you can't possibly miss. This doesn't allow any in-betweens. This is in or out. This is either or. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. If I get into the elevator, I'm going up. If I don't get into the elevator, I'll remain standing exactly where I am. Now, that's not any big problem. You can't be half in and half out. The elevator won't move that way. You're in, you go up. You're out, you stay where you are. And this is exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the statement made. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And by the way, in this connection, when it says he is condemned, not he that believeth not is condemned already, this is not to say that he is condemned as punishment for not believing. This is not a matter of the Lord saying, well, because this man didn't believe, we now will inflict condemnation upon him. No, let's understand it straight. So far as you and I are concerned, we're already condemned before God in our sin. There is no man that sinneth not. There isn't any such thing as a person coming before God with a clean record. Every single one of us are sinners, and we are already condemned. Now, no question about that. And that's what the book here means. That's what the writer means. Now, the man who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has his condemnation lifted. The man who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer condemned. We'll have this brought out later in one of the other verses of our study while we're studying in the book of John, when we read, there is now no condemnation to them that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly, he that believeth on him is not condemned any longer. He is no longer under condemnation. He's no longer under judgment. He is no longer going to be destroyed. But he that believeth not, the person that did not receive the salvation, the person who did not receive Jesus Christ, is condemned already, because that was his state. That's where he was to begin with. Condemned means that he was judged because of his sin, before he ever heard the gospel. When I go out and into a community and preach the gospel, every single person in front of me is responsible before God for his conduct. And there is no man that sinneth not. I'm standing out there talking to a group of men. Every one of them's got his foot in a bear trap. Every one of them has. And I'm coming there able to help him out. That's the point. And I'm offering to him a way of being saved. And he is, in himself, naturally under condemnation, judged because of his sin, and doomed because, so far as his prospect is concerned, he has only to look forward to death and destruction. But I come with a message, with a promise of salvation. The man could be saved. Now, this is explained more fully in verses 19 to 21. And here we get a little clue as to why anybody would turn away. Why would anybody turn away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would anybody not receive him and that he might be saved? Now look in verses 19, 20, and 21. This is the condemnation. This is the state of being condemned. This is the situation that exists, the reason why some people stay where they are and will be lost. Light is come into the world. After all, God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Just like he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Just like he makes the sun rise in the morning and the light shines and it's daylight and you can't stop it. So with reference to the coming of the gospel, God sent his Son into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, I want you to notice, they didn't love darkness rather than light because darkness is nicer than light is. That's not the point. It wasn't that they looked at darkness and said, I like that, I like the night, rather than I like the daytime. That's not the point. Notice what it says. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Exactly. Because what they were doing was wrong. The simple truth of the matter is that the man who practices evil does not want light on what he's doing. And by the way, you don't need to go to Sunday school for that. You don't need to learn the Ten Commandments for that. Anywhere in the whole wide world, when men do wrong, they slip around at night to do it. Absolutely. They do it in the dark. They do it when you're not looking. That's as natural as human beings are natural. And the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The man who practices evil does not want light. And on the other hand, the man who practices honesty, truth, and sincerity, he wants the light. He loves the light. He's perfectly glad to be seen in it. And we read, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God." And when I hear that, I think back on the days when I was an unbeliever. And when I look back on that, just as I was going over this, it occurred to me that the first big thing that actually happened in my life, and probably I should have always recognized that this was the beginning of turning toward the truth for me, was when I decided I'd be honest. When I decided I'd play it straight. And if any of you are listening to me, and if you're having any trouble about the Christian gospel, let me tell you right now that your problem is not to decide who wrote the Bible. Your problem is not to decide what's God going to do with the heathen. Your problem is not to decide how in the world is it possible for man to be born again. Your problem is a whole lot simpler than that, and it comes right down to this. Will you play it straight? Will you be honest? Will you be open and above board? Are you willing to come into the presence of God as you are, sinner as you may be? I want to tell you something. God receiveth sinful men. Mark it down in your heart and soul. Christ came to save you. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we think on these things, and especially do we pray for those who are in confusion and in darkness. Give them the inward grace to honestly open up their hearts before thee, and to receive Jesus Christ that they may be saved.